Good evening, everyone. We're going to get started. Thank you all for coming out. And thank you for anyone who's joining us virtually as well. First on our agenda is the approval of the agenda. So do we have a motion on the floor? We got a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor? Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. First on our action items is the approval of our February 16th CAC meeting minutes. You all should have received that, and they are online as well. Do we have a motion?
I motion to approve.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you, guys. Next up is the FY 2023 UPWP amendment.
Good evening. Actually, we have a new member, so I think we might schedule an orientation for the new member sometime. Yeah, we have been swamped recently. So, but welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. The Unified Planning Work Program, as everybody knows, is the MPO's staff budget. The reason we are doing the both fiscal year 2023 UPWP amendment and fiscal year 2024, which is item 2 and 3, because of CAT got some money and they want to spend, and they want to have the study kicked off probably before June. So in June we are still in fiscal year 2023, and in July we start 2024. The study will be carried forward in fiscal year 2024. So we need to include both in both UPWP. So this is the information. CAT got awarded the Smart Funds, Strengthening Mobility and Revolutionizing Transportation Grant. I will just show you what's used for. So in fiscal year 2023, UPWP, we just update the transit section and include this study. As you can see, awarded, okay. So I highlighted everything in red. So everything that has changed is highlighted in red. So Smart Funded CAT EV Zonal Micro Project. This will be a 100% federal funding. So it's about $1.2 million. And Faye is over here. If you have any questions, and she can tell you what this project will be doing. So I think basically CAT will use the money to study how to implement the micro transit project. So this is the portion that is amended into the fiscal year 2023 Unified Planning Work Program. Since we were not separating the funding for this one in the fiscal year 2023, so this is all of the changes in fiscal year 2023. So we would just request that the CEC endorse the amendment to include the Smart Funded CAT project into the fiscal year 2023 UPWP.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for staff or for CAT staff who's present? Hearing none, do we have a motion to endorse?
I move that we endorse this recommendation coming from the staff. My name is Brian Lee.
Do we have a second?
Second.
I'll second the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Hearing none, it carries.
Okay. And then I will move on to the next one. It's the same project. Since it will continue into fiscal year 2024 UPWP, so we are amending the fiscal year 2024 UPWP as well. The formatting of the UPWP in 2024 is a little bit different. So we not only added this project because this is still new, because we're still haven't started fiscal 2024 yet. So I added more information over here and added CAT will kick off this zonal micro transit project and also included that information. So you don't see that whole paragraph like what you did in fiscal 2023 because the different format. But I did add this sentence that in fiscal 2024, CAD plans to do the following using this funding: continue and complete the CAD EV zonal micro project funded by smart grant funds. So that's included in fiscal 2024. And also in fiscal 2024, because I separate out the different funding criteria by that. So I actually added a new task over here just to add in this information. Because in the fiscal 2024 UPWP, I did the financial summary based on the MPO's planning funds, which is PL Section 5303 and Y410. And then information listed and financial information listed just for reference. So that's why CAD, this part of CAD is listed for reference. So currently it lists ARP funded project, AOPP funded projects, and now we're just adding this transit planning fund smart funded project over here. So we're just adding that information over here. So that's why you see a little bit different format, but it's still the same project. We are also requesting the CEC endorsement for the proposed UPWP amendment for this one as well.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? All right, do we have a motion to endorse?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Passes. Thank you so much, and congratulations to CAD on the award of those funds. I was able to attend the press conference last weekend. It seems like something that can transform our city, so congrats.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is the item 4, April 2023 updates to FY 2021 to 2024 tip.
Okay, I'm going to talk about this one as well. We did receive several amendment requests from GDOT, and that's the highway, and we also received two amendments requests from CAT. So I have the summary over here. For the GDOT, basically the Talmadge Bridge project, it has the preliminary engineering funds in fiscal 2023, which have been authorized. The construction funds was in fiscal 2025, but GDOT wants to move the construction funds to fiscal 2024 because our current TIP is covering 2021 to 2024. So basically you're moving the TIP outside of the moving the project from 2025 into the 2024, which is considered adding a project phase. This is considered amendment. So that's one. Another one is the US 17 bridge over there. We are just updating the funding source. So this is basically not amendment. It can be done administratively since I was doing TIP. So I was just going to add it and to just process it all together instead of process it separately. And the third one is also amendment, is the US 80 at Las Red Creek bridge replacement. We're shifting right of way from fiscal 2023 to 2024 and shift the construction from 2023 to long range. So basically we are deleting the construction phase from the current TIP. So it will be in 2025 or 2026. But in whatever situation, we're deleting this project from the current TIP. So it's deleting a phase is considered an amendment. So for this La Strada Creek Bridge replacement, the changes are just a right of way from 2023 to 2024, construction from 2023 to long range. And we also have like two CAD projects, like said, we're adding this newly awarded project into the transit site, part of the TIP. One is the Savannah Bells Ferry System, ferry vessel construction. And CAD got some award funds over here. So we are going to amend the funds into fiscal year 2023 so CAD can start to use those. And another one is the paratransit maintenance facility. CAD also gets some award funds. So we also added those into fiscal year 2023. So I can just go into the details about this project. For the Memorial Bridge, the construction cost that's moving to 2024 is about $175 million. So this is a very, very big project. You can see it's in 2024. And then that one, funding code change, but the cost doesn't change. It's still $2 million. That's the US 17 bridge project. And then the La Strada Creek project. So basically the cost is about $20 million that we are moving out of the TIP. For highway projects, there are also some projects that we amended in December, got PN number, got assigned PN number. So they're just shown over here for informational purposes. So this is the transit update.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, we had one quick question.
Excuse me, on the, going back to Lazarus Creek.
Lazarus Creek.
Is the, and I'm talking about a design consideration, which you may not be able to answer, but is this gonna be widening the bridge to four lanes?
I don't think it's four lanes, no.
Okay.
No, it's not four lanes, but it's going to include some like bicycle and pedestrian accommodation.
Still going to be the same fixed span high rise bridge that it is now, right?
Yeah, but it will, have some. I think it will be widened. We do have the concept, but I have to go back and check. So, but it's not four laney.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, but it will have some space for like emergency vehicles or something like that.
Excuse me. If you're not going to widen it, how can you accommodate new, more traffic and more different kinds of service uses?
I think when they were doing the US 80 bridges replacement study, they found out because the average daily traffic to Tybee Island is not even 10,000, I think. So two-lane road can easily accommodate that traffic. So the reason they're replacing the bridges, not because it's like they're functionally obsolete and the structurally they were built in the 1960s. So it's pretty old bridge. So you want to make sure you improve the safety. It's not really increasing the capacity. But like also the current situation is like if you have an accident, and you have like two narrow lanes, you really don't have, so you block the road for 2 hours or something. But if you add some space so that emergency vehicles can come through, so you don't block that traffic that much. So, but I have to check the concept to see what it was. But that was the reason that they were replacing the bridge. And also you want to accommodate because currently, it would be very dangerous. You walk on bike on there, so you want to add some separated or bike walk accommodations, separated or not. So those would be the improvements.
Thank you.
Okay, the two CAD project, one is the water ferry system. So this is the how much we are adding. So CAD actually got awarded, the federal portion that was awarded is about $1.8 million. And I was talking to Faye a moment ago. So the state portion, about $3 million, is pending. But they should be get it within probably next 2 months. And then the local portion is about $3.15 million. So this is for the water ferry. And then the second one is the paratransit maintenance facility. The federal dollars, the federal awards is about $2.25 million. And then the local match is about $6.25 million. So if you have any questions on these two projects, Faye is over here. So she can probably answer them.
Why is the local match so large? You said 6 point.
So the T-HUD earmark, the total project cost on that was just over $8 million. And when the earmark was applied for, the earmarks are you don't expect more than somewhere between $2 and $3 million on earmarks. They're not like a $10 million kind of funding ask. They're typically within that range. So depending on what we got, the balance, whatever that balance was going to be, was going to need to come out of local funds. And so that's what that represents. It's just it's a matter of what the cost of the project is, the, you know, just over $8 million. And the earmark was for the 2.25. And so the balance is local funds.
We're glad that federal dollars can offset the total cost.
They will.
We are very glad that the federal dollars can offset the total cost. Mm-hmm. So if the total cost is $9 million, $8 million, and if they can give us $2 million, that's good. So we only spent $6 million.
Excuse me, what does the facility do?
This is the paratransit.
So currently our paratransit, we have fixed route service, so the buses that you see that run on the fixed routes, and then we have CAP Mobility, which is those smaller buses that serve our seniors and our differently abled residents. Those are obviously different kinds of vehicles, and especially now we're getting in, we've got 6 electric vehicles, large buses, we're getting in 10 of the paratransit vehicles electric as well. Right now, we're having to serve all of that in one maintenance facility, simply have outgrown the facility. And so we went after a funding for a new paratransit maintenance facility. And we are working with the city of Savannah on coordination of a potential site and donation of the property that would be needed for the facility to be housed on.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Do we have any other questions for staff or CAT?
Okay, if you don't have any questions, the staff is requesting the CEC endorsement for the proposed TIP amendments or TIP updates, including some administrative changes.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
I so move.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Call the question, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry. do we have a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, it moves. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. I will move on to the next agenda item, which is TIP prioritization. So the agenda that we just talked about is the current TIP, fiscal year 2021 to 2024. So we still have 1 year left under the current TIP, so which is 2024. But before that lapse, and we need to adopt the new TIP, the new TIP will be the new programming guide us programming and projects. And the new TIP will cover the fiscal year 2024 to 2027. So according to the participation plan, we got to have one prioritization meeting because we have a revenues, but we need to decide how to allocate the revenues. We actually don't control a lot of the revenues, like the interstate revenues. We don't control that. But we do control Y230 funds, which is Surface Transportation Block Group funds, and then Y301 funds, Transportation Alternatives funds, which are used for bicycle and pedestrian trail projects. We also have control over a new program called Carbon Reduction Program, but specific guidelines are not out yet, but we would decide how to do the prioritization for projects for to be funded with those. And we also have prioritization authority over the HIP funds, which the Highway Infrastructure Program funds. So those funds have lapsing dates. So we want to make sure that we have those revenues and we prioritize the projects. And the priorities that we establish, it doesn't mean that maybe this project will be number one, and so all of the funds have to be allocated to it. It is not like that, because even if might be priority number one, it doesn't require funds until 2025. So maybe number five or number three require funds in fiscal 2024. So it's based on the revenues. And so this priority just gave us some idea, just to say if they are competing, if those two projects are competing in the same year, so the higher priority might have more funds. So just want to let you know, it is not definitely that the number one we get all of the funds is not like that. So what we want to do is I'm proposing just a methodology for prioritization, because the TIP Transportation Improvement Program is a subset of the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. So Metropolitan Transportation Plan is the longer range plan. So it has three cost band. So all of the projects in MTP has gone through the two screening criteria. So you screen them by needs and then you screen them by environmental. So all of them have been through. So basically the projects that landed in cost band one would be the highest priority for implementation. So we want to just keep this approach, just to say, okay, when we program funds for the projects in the TIP, we want to make sure most of the projects will come from cost band one. So that's rule number one. So in cost band one, you still have, I'm listing over here. So these are the projects, because some of the cost band one projects have already been implemented, like I-16 widening. But these are the ones that haven't been totally completed or implemented yet. So, but you still have about like 10 of those. So how do we deal with this? So that's where the call for project comes in, and you want to make sure, okay, the higher priority projects will be probably when the funds are available, it will be prioritized, programmed first. So, like I said, the HIP funded projects and the Y230 funded projects and Y301 funded projects, they actually overlap with this cost band one projects. So you can see the HIP funded projects. Currently we have Lazaretto Creek Bridge Replacement, I-16 interchange at Little Neck Road, and Chambers Road Improvements. So those will be considered priorities. And then the Y230 and Y301, actually we did call for project last year. So all these projects went through the competitive project selection process. And you can see Project Doreen ranked number one, and I-95 at Everest Avenue interchange number two, and that's for Y230. And several studies for Chatham County actually got prioritized pretty high as well. Stereo 204 and 25 President Street, that railroad crossing elimination. And CAT project, like fleet replacement, replace the diesel buses, actually got number five for the Y230 ranking. And the Taito Town have the Middle Ground Road. You can also see, I also list as 301 ranking. That's because some of these projects, they're eligible for both. So to enhance their chances of getting the funds, they actually applied for both funds. So we allocate the fund based on availability. So if we have a Y230 funds, for example, the Tai Tu Town project, if we have a Y301 funds available, we will use those funds first. And the reason is Y230 funds is more flexible. So the Y230 funds can be used for highway projects, transit projects, bike pedestrian projects, ITS project. So it's more flexible. So if this project is applying for the funds and it's a bike walk project, we want to use the Y301 funds first. So this is just give you an example that we are doing this, and this is the prioritization. So these projects are all consistent with the cost band one projects, and we will use this and try to allocate the funds based on the resources. And then another criteria that, like I did say, is the carbon reduction program. Currently, the guidelines are still in development. Hopefully, we will get the guidelines in September. And after that, we probably will have to do a call for project as well, based on those guidelines, and they will have a different ranking criteria. So, but if we have new projects selected, and they will be amended into the new TIP. The TIP is a multimodal project, so it includes highway projects, transit projects, and maintenance project, operational improvement project. So some of those that we don't, is the MPO doesn't do the prioritization. For example, if you have 5307 funds, the MPO doesn't do the prioritization. If you have 5310, we don't do the prioritization. So CAD actually does the transit project prioritization because they are using 5339, 5336, and 5307 funds. So this is the list that's come from CAT. So we respect the CAT's authority in doing that, but we just want to list this priority list for the transit projects so that people know what kind of projects will be implemented in the next 4 years. So you can see completion of the master transit plan and then the transit development plan that will be a priority. And also passenger amenities. I'm just giving some examples like bus stops. So make improvements, accessible improvements to bus stops and water ferry, the construction, like we just amended the TIP. So we're going to have a third ferry. So ferry replacement and ferry construction and also, make some like ITS project, transit ITS project. So these are the ones that is produced by CAT because they are going to use the portion of money that they control to implement these projects. And like I said, there are also operational improvements and maintenance projects, and we also don't control those because most of those funds will be like interstate funds or statewide funds. So GDOT actually makes the decision on those. How they are included in the TIP, there will be a lump sum. So you see the lump sum, maybe Y240 funds. So we will see the lump sum, but specific projects will be determined by GDOT. So it's like as determined and necessary. So GDOT actually do has a procedure. And the transportation board actually make the decision on which projects to select. So, but I just want to mention that we want to include that information over here. Want to let you know that we are not only included the specific highway and transit projects, but also those maintenance projects and operational improvement projects. So that's why I'm adding all this information over here.
Apologize.
Is there somebody?
Apologize.
Okay. Okay. And besides those, I did talk about the transportation alternatives program, and most of the projects will come from the bike walk project, will come from our non-motorized transportation plan. So I just want to let you know the MPO's non-motorized transportation plan does have a prioritization process. So, but it doesn't mean that the highest priority will be implemented. It's like normally you got to have a project sponsor. But if it is a bike path project, it has to be consistent with the non-motorized transportation plan. So I just want to let you know, yes, it going through the call for project. But the call for project, when we evaluate the bike walk project, the criteria actually come from the non-motorized transportation plan. So just want to make the connection over there. So basically, we are just asking the CEC, do you have any comments on this approach that we're doing regarding the tip prioritization? Do you have any objections or any suggestions or any just comments or would like to let us know? And we will just ask you to endorse the proposed methodology. So you see some of the rankings, but not necessarily just to say, just with the understanding that the funding are not going to be allocated just based on the rankings, because it will be based on the different schedule, project schedules, and also the availability of the funds.
Any questions or comments?
I don't necessarily have a question, but I was just going to ask you to kind of go back over the ranks, but you kind of did at the end there. So thank you for that with the chart that you have up right now.
Okay.
So I do appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
Seeing no hands in the air, Mr. Chairman, I call the question.
Do we have a motion? Or... do we have a motion?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is our status reports. We have the 2050 MTP update.
2050 MTP, Asia actually gave you the presentation on the comment map at last meeting. And between that meeting and this meeting, the only thing that we have been working on is revising the 2050 socioeconomic data. So we submitted our initial data to GDOT. They accepted our 2020 data already, but the 2050 we submitted. Okay. Is it possible for you to turn it off?
Is it an apple?
Okay, I just want to let you know of one part of the 2050 plan update is we are still working with GDOT on the 2050 socioeconomic data development. We actually just received some new comments yesterday. We will start to address those comments. And another part that we are doing is several contributing plans and studies are still ongoing, like freight plan, the urban flooding model study, and the CAS master transit plan. And master and transit development plan, and also the U.S. 80 corridor study. Those are ongoing. And then Chatham County are going to kick off several studies, 204 U.S. 17 corridor studies and President Street railroad elimination study. And then we will probably start the congestion management process update probably at the beginning of next fiscal year, because Jasmine, who was here, was supposed to work on it, but Jasmine left us. If you don't know, Jasmine left MPC. So we are kind of short-staffed right now. So you guys, because that's why I'm doing all the presentation over here. And Asia will do a presentation later, but now only Asia and myself. So we are active recruiting. So that's why you see some of the things, ongoing things probably will get delayed just because of that.
Can you repeat that in
we cannot
the mic?
Are we going to see a change in that anytime soon? You're shorthanded. I heard you.
Yeah, we're shorthanded, yes.
I'm saying, are we still having the same problem we had before? You know, the salaries are not commensurate to what people really want to get when they get out of school and kind of stuff.
Yeah, we're trying our best, basically. So it's just, but you are not going to expect many things. We try to be not miss the deadlines. So we try to still like get on target and get everything done on target, on schedule. But it's just is not, it's more hectic basically. So, but we will still get them done. And I think Melanie and Pam are still like trying to recruit people. So we might be able to have some help.
Understand that the problem you're having is not common. It's common to other offices of your type. They're all trying to recruit planners and people, and they're fairly difficult doing so. That's
yes.
What I heard.
Yes. So, but I think we will have somebody probably to help us in June. I think we will have our new project manager for the USAID, not USAID, the Urban Flooding Model Study, and probably because it's also time for us to schedule our second round of public meetings for the 2050 MTP. Remember, we had a very intensive round last September to October, so we got at least like 40 events and meetings. So this time we will have at least like 3 public meetings, because we do have several plans that already produce some results. Like freight plan update is going to be done. Probably we will have the recommendations in June. So we want to present to the public what we have. And we will also have some bicycle and pedestrian improvement recommendations probably, or methodology. So we will start to schedule the second round probably in July to August to brief people. And also related to that, the MPO boundary change, so that will be updated as well. But any questions on this 2050 MTP?
Thank you for the update.
Okay, thank you.
Next on our agenda is the core MPO regional freight plan update.
Yeah, the freight plan development is really, really on schedule, and all of the deliverables, all of the current available deliverables are on this website. You can see we finished the task 2, the freight needs assessment and analysis, and we finished the task 3, freight land use assessment analysis, and we finished the task 4, economic development market assessment for freight, and then task 5, environmental and community impact scan and analysis for freight. So all of the deliverables for these are online. We are actually developing the recommendations right now. So the task 6, 7, and 8 focusing on recommendations. So 6 will be focusing on land use recommendations, and task 7 will focus on policy recommendations and infrastructure recommendations. Currently, the consultants are compiling the recommendations from the relevant studies like Effingham County Transportation Master Plan, and the Coastal Empire study that was conducted by GDOT, and the statewide freight plan, and the completed State Route 307 corridor study, and completed State Route 21 access management study. So we're compiling, making a big matrix. So the thing is probably we will not repeat. If they overlap, we will just point those out. We will also come up with some new recommendations. Just want to let you know that in June, we have the ADFAC committee meeting that will also serve as a public meeting. So we do invite you to come over here. And so the consultant will give the presentation, and that's when you see the recommendations, really the final not draft the recommendations at that time, because probably in July we will finalize all the technical memos. So we will do public outreach for the June meeting. So, but we do encourage you to come and just take a look at that, because it will be very, very important for our area, the freight plan.
Any questions?
This is just concerns something the last meeting you asked for volunteers to help look go over some.
That is not for the freight plan. That is for.
I'm saying that. Are that going forward? Is that going forward?
Yes. Yes. It will be another agenda item. We will talk about that.
Any other questions? Thank you for the update. Next on our agenda is the urban flooding model study update.
The urban flooding model study, I just told you we lost our project manager. But in the meantime, I think Caitlin from our historic preservation office will temporarily assume the project management role until we get this new person in June. The consultant actually is coming tomorrow at the TCC meeting, at the Technical Coordinating Committee meeting. They're going to have a presentation just to tell us what results have they come out. So if you're interested, you can just join the virtual meeting of the TCC, or if you want to come to the office, you can just come to, it's the same room. So they will do a study to do a presentation.
Any questions?
What time is it virtually? Tomorrow, what time is it?
2:00. Yeah, it's the technical coordinating committee meeting, yeah.
Thank you for the update. Next up is the update on the CAT master transit plan.
Yeah, Faye and Denise will do the presentation for this one.
Thank you all so very much for the opportunity to be here with you tonight and to talk about this very important initiative that Chatham Area Transit has undertaken over nearly the past year now. We're going to walk you through some of the information with the findings and the efforts that have been undertaken. And hopefully you'll have some good questions for us tonight as well. We are moving forward on a schedule that will see us adopt the recommendations of this plan in June. But lots of open house focus groups, public meetings, stakeholder meetings. I was trying to think. I mean, we've had every kind of outreach, I think, that we can think of. And we're very proud. These master plans for places like Chatham Area Transit are essential tools, not only in guiding who we are and what we're going to become, but it's also really critical for showing funding partners our capabilities and being a worthy partner of all these different funding opportunities that are out there. So it's critical for our financial integrity. It's also very critical for the how do we grow into what we're becoming. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Denise Grabowski. Denise is with the consultant team that has been working with us all through this process, and then we'll both work to answer your questions at the end. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Denise Grabowski. I'm with Symbiosity, which is an urban planning consulting firm based here in Savannah, and I have the pleasure of working with Nelson Nygaard, which is the prime consultant on this project, and working with Chatham Area Transit on the development of the master transit plan. So I will move through our agenda this evening fairly quickly, but if I'm going too quickly, please don't hesitate to let me know. And if you have questions along the way, obviously Faye and I can address those as well. So we're going to give you a quick project update, talk a little bit about the findings from the State of the System report, some of the strategies and opportunities that we are looking for moving forward in the implementation of the Transit Master Plan, and then our next steps. The image that you see on the screen, Faye mentioned that we've been doing some focus group meetings. We had some great sessions with students over at Johnson High School, and they had a lot to share with us, and then we followed up with them with some mapping activities, and that's the image that you see there. So we are working to make sure that we're engaging not only the leaders of today, but the leaders of tomorrow as well. So this project updates, this really includes Chatham Connects is kind of the overall framework for three ongoing studies. The first is the transit service plan, and that's really looking at near and short-term improvements and changes to Chatham area transit. The master transit plan, which will kind of pick up where the COA and TDP leave off on a time horizon and move forward into a longer horizon for implementation and new service models moving forward for Chatham Air Transit. And then finally, the zero emissions plan, which Faye mentioned a little bit earlier with bringing on new electric buses as well as new electric paratransit vehicles. We have been working on this since August of last year. We've got a lot done. And as Faye mentioned, we are looking to wrap up with formal adoption of the Transit Master Plan by the CAT Board of Directors in June. We have been working really over these many months in a number of different ways. We've held focus group meetings in February, and these are really small group in-depth conversations that really allowed us to talk one-on-one with people who have used transit in the past, who are using transit now, and may not be using transit but would like to. And so it was a great opportunity to hear some diverse feedback. We are in the process right now of the board and stakeholder meetings. We have a stakeholder committee that we are working with. It's about 80 different organizations across Chatham County and the city of Savannah that are providing feedback and input throughout this process. In April, we're here now, and we're going to be going to each of the MPO meetings, and we're working with the CAT Board of Directors to really talk about the financing piece, which obviously is critically important. And then in May, we are going to have a week where we really are focused on pop-up meetings, focus group opportunities, and additional open house presentations. So as we all know, COVID affected a lot of things, and transit was probably one of the hardest hits when we look at the public infrastructure and the drop in ridership that we had during COVID. But one of the things that we've identified through this process is that we are able to identify some core routes that we'll be able to strengthen. I'll talk about that in just a moment. And you see some of the findings here that we've taken away, that these eight core routes carry 80% of our riders. That the fastest growing areas are actually outside of CAT service areas. So what does that mean for CAT moving into the future? Partners have and will continue to be key for CAT success. And the zero fare services are wildly popular. So if you think about the DOT shuttle, which many of you see going around Forsyth Park and has been expanded all the way to Victory as well as out to historic Carver Village, those are really important service models that we are looking at how those can continue. We also see operating costs rising faster than revenue rates, which is probably no surprise. And we have some historic underinvestment that needs to be addressed critically. Like many other transit agencies across the country, we have had severe impacts on driver shortages because that is a direct impact to the level and the quality of service that CAT can provide. And they are continuing to work feverishly to bring on new drivers. These are the eight bus routes that we see carrying the vast percentage of the fixed route riders across CAT system. And when we look at what this means, for the high-performing bus routes, there's opportunities for more investment and potential for frequency improvements. So, for example, changing a bus that might only come half hour to more frequent intervals of maybe 15 minutes. That means we also have opportunities to look at our low-performing bus routes and what are the changes that make sense for that. That might look like a different service model, such as microtransit, which we'll talk more about in just a moment. And one of the things in particular about these lower routes where we don't have the percentage of ridership is when we look at the cost per rider basis, that number is much higher than what we see on our fixed routes. So we want to be able to identify what are ways in which we can use that funding more efficiently and more successfully to better service our community. We know that small investments can make a really big difference. In our focus groups, one of the things that we heard over and over and over again was really that fix it first. So let's make sure that we are taking care of our riders of today. And that can be things as simple as improving our stops. So that is the first interface that someone has with CAT when they are waiting for the bus at the bus stop. So that means adding shelters, adding benches, and making it a pleasant experience. The fastest growing service areas, as we know, are happening outside of CAT, much of that driven by the Hyundai EV plant. And so we're looking for what does that mean for us when we're talking about transit and how can we efficiently provide opportunities to be able to access those jobs. Partnerships are critical. Both the ferry service as well as the DOT are results of partnerships that CAT has built over the years with the tourism community as well as the city of Savannah. So how can we look to increase those partnerships, particularly with employers, with the school district, community colleges, and universities to make sure, again, that we are providing the best possible transit service that we can provide for our community? Opportunities to expand the zero fare policy. This is a great way to look at how we can better serve our neighborhoods. I mentioned the expansion to Historic Harbor Village and Cloverdale. And this is also a way that we can look to make sure that we are providing adequate service to some of our historically disadvantaged communities that have suffered from chronic lack of investment over many, many years. Moving on to strategies and opportunities. So some of the strategies we'll talk about, these are still draft right now as we go through this last round of outreach and opportunities for input. We are looking at these strategies and evaluating impact based on many project goals, including equity. So you see the little blue box at the bottom of the screen that highlights our goals that we are seeking to achieve through the Transit Master Plan. So they really fall into three buckets: transit services, capital investments, and policies and programs. So I mentioned fix it first. Bring back CAT bus service. So looking at opportunities to expand the current bus service and look at opportunities to increase frequency and also have longer hours, passenger comfort, both on the bus as well as you're waiting for the bus, to be creative in our service models, including microtransit, which I'll talk more about in just a moment. And then branding of CAT services, some of the most frequently used services, the DOT shuttle and the ferries, many people don't even realize that that is part of Chatham Area Transit. And so we want to increase the recognition from the community of the value that CAT provides to our community and to our visitors. We want to be able to expand the base. Once we've fixed it first, how can we continue to grow and provide those services? Expanded bus service includes things like BRT, which is Bus Rapid Transit, and that's a direct line that provides fewer stops and faster service for transit users. Microtransit is this concept of it's an alternative or and something that can work with fixed route service where you are providing service within a zone. So if you think about rideshare services like Uber or Lyft that are on-demand service, that's a similar model to microtransit where you would call and say, I need a ride, and you would be provided with a half-hour window where you would be greeted by a professional driver in a marked vehicle. These would be CAT employees. So it provides that same service, but you don't end up with someone who may or may not have that professional driving and also a reliable fare that's provided with that microtransit service. The continuation of capital improvements and expanding commuter services, being able to make sure that people are able to access jobs is a key priority, not only for CAT, but for many stakeholders in our community. And so we want to be able to meet that need. Then achieving the vision, the longer term strategies, we're looking 10 plus years, really a fully developed transit network that brings together a variety of services. So we think historically about transit in Chatham County really as the fixed route service. So we're looking really to expand that model of what transit mobility means in Chatham County and looking at the ways that people move around our community. So our next steps. As I mentioned, we are continuing with our outreach. In May, we will have a lot of pop-up events, so we will be sure to share those with you and encourage you to extend an invitation to members in the community to attend those pop-up events and open house workshops so that we can continue to get feedback and moving towards the adoption of the Transit Master Plan in June 2023. I went very quickly, I realized, but for the sake of time, wanted to get through this and happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? I was wondering, do we have the demographics of who uses the DOT services? Is it more so visitors or is it more so Savannians using it to get to their jobs downtown and whatnot?
So we have information. I don't know. What we see is it's both, because there's actually a lot of people that are, I think the perception is that it's a lot of visitors, and a lot of visitors do use it, but a lot of people also use it to get to jobs in downtown, because downtown is still an employment center. And now that the DOT has been expanded to neighborhoods as well as to Victory, that increases access to local residents even more. And then one of the other things that we don't often talk about with the DOT service is not only is it providing that service for visitors and for residents, it also helps to take cars off the street. So, you know, we all have been around our visitors who are less familiar with how to navigate the squares and so forth. So if we can provide a safe and convenient alternative, then it's a win-win for everybody.
The other question I had was with the focus groups in February, what were some of the questions that you were asking them? And
We talked a lot about microtransit during those focus groups. We wanted to know, because this was an idea we were really moving forward. We heard about the smart grant application earlier that Kat has amazingly gotten this $1.2 million of federal money to move forward. So we wanted to see what would make people most comfortable. Would they use it? What would their concerns be? What, you know, input did they have? And we got some really great feedback. So when we were meeting with the students, one of the things that they shared with us was they would love to be able to have a service like that, especially to be able to expand opportunities for extracurricular activities. And they would love to be able to have a tracking so that their parents could see where they are on that microtransit service. And that's something we can easily do with technology. So we talked a lot about technology as well. We talked about how you would actually be able to use the service. And a lot of the feedback, this was something I didn't really expect to hear, but we heard feedback from people that said, I really don't use Uber and Lyft because I don't like being alone in the car with a stranger. So that kind of lack of accountability from the driver's side was a real hindrance. But they said, with this, I'd be much more likely to use it because I know it would be a car that's clearly marked as microtransit. I know it would be a professional driver. I know they have accountability to somebody here locally. And I know that I might be riding with another person, which helped increase their sense of personal safety. So we got some really awesome feedback through those focus groups.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Great question. Thank you.
Time to time, I hear people tell me that they don't come to these meetings, not these meetings, come to meetings because they don't know meetings are going to happen. And they, for example, about 3 months, 4 months ago, we had a meeting. And I attended that meeting at CAT office. And I didn't go to any other since that time because the people I contact told me that they didn't know when the meetings were going to be held. And I see you have some dates here coming up.
Yes, sir.
So there will be meetings in the future. But
yes, sir.
Sometimes people don't come to these meetings because they aren't aware of these meetings are being held. One other thing, you said earlier that one initiative is to get more cars, get fewer cars off the street. But when you go to this this micro model, it seems to me that whether you have the cars labeled clearly or not, there's still more cars. You know, you really aren't necessarily, you're not going to use the CAT buses, however large they are, mm-hmm. or small you can get them down to carry people. What you're going to be doing is using vehicles of some sort, whether they're, how they're marked, how comfortable you are with riding in them or not, you're still more cars will be on the road.
Do you want to take that one?
Yeah. On the microtransit vehicles, they actually look very similar to what our current CAT mobility vehicles look like. So they're 10 to 15 passenger vehicles. So in fact, they're not just carrying one or two people, or they could, but they also can carry more than that within the zone. So again, that's part of what makes it be something that does get more cars off the road, or it offers an alternative to having to get in your car and go somewhere. And I think that's the choice part of it that's really important, and also as a matter of congestion relief. The other thing I wanted to comment on when you talked about people knowing about meetings, I wanted you to hear the kinds of things that we do in order to promote these meetings. So in addition to having a great team of dedicated professionals that are pushing this out and our own communication staff, we use social media, we use our website, we use mailing lists, we use the mailing lists of others, we promote it through organizations, we post on the public access channels of both the city of Savannah and Chatham County. We're sitting here trying to think. We use text alerts. We use neighborhood coordinators. We go to the neighborhood association meetings. So we are out lots of places. I have no doubt that there will still sometimes be someone that might not hear about something, for sure. But but nonetheless, under the depth and breadth of what we do to make sure that that is a rarity, I wanted you to be aware of the comprehensiveness of our approach to outreach.
Well, I appreciate hearing that, but I'm still thinking that in reality, when we hear the demographics of who are the people, when people say, we did a survey, and you say, well, who are the people participating in the survey? You know, how much income they have, education is on. It is a fairly elitist group. So apparently you're reaching the people, whatever you do, however you try doing it, because this is not very typical person, or if we can say such a person exists in Savannah, is not the kind of people you're doing your surveys. It's simply not there.
One of the things that we did with the surveys in particular was we actually, our team divided up and they actually rode the buses and completed surveys with the riders on the buses and at stops and shelters. So we did a very, making it easy, making it comfortable, making it accessible, kind of piece of that as well. So understand, again, a survey to your point, survey's not everybody's comfort space. So we also offer places where you can submit comments on the website. We also offer in-person meetings you can go to where you can submit your comments sort of, in a more anonymous way if that's how you would like, or you can speak to it if you would also like and meet with someone more one-on-one. But in terms of the actual riders on our buses, and this was more part of the transit development plan part, we actually did have the teams out, rode the buses, met with our riders where they are, either at shelters or on their trips, to gain and seek information to help us better understand what the needs and so forth are. But I appreciate all your comments.
Another comment, yeah, I hope you appreciate this as well. Your CAT center, the main one downtown, it has been a disaster in terms of when the weather's bad, and it's often bad when it means rain. That facility, it leaks. That we all know that, and that's a design flaw, really. To be honest with you, it's not something you can just say, well, we're going to fix it it just shouldn't have been built that way. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that I see that the amount of money mentioned, but that you is mentioned as one of the projects that you have been funded money for, and so I trust that some money will be used to fix that feature of the problem. Just to say, well, okay, people go downtown.
We actually just recently resealed the very distinctive canopy over the platform at the ITC. So it has been recently resealed, but I agree with you. I know that not long after I got here, that was one of the first things I noticed out there was it leaked miserably. And that leaking not only impacted services and operations and our riders, which is the most important thing. In addition to that, the dynamic messaging signs that are out there that are there to help people, you couldn't use them because of the leakage. All that has been fixed.
Any other questions or comments?
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Next on our agenda is the core MPO planning area boundary update.
I will be giving that presentation. Okay, so the core MPO is in the process of updating its planning boundary. All MPOs must have a defined metropolitan planning area, and it's based on the 2020 census and the Savannah urban area. So with the release of the decennial census, we do have to update our planning area and revise exactly where our boundary lies. In revising our planning area, we use the Savannah urban area and also the areas that we expect to become urbanized within the next 20 years. So this is some of what we've been doing in the planning boundary process. So we actually had a working group meeting where we sat down with the volunteers to decide where the boundary should actually lie. And using that, we drew a boundary, and we've had several meetings over the past few weeks with Effingham County, Bryan County, just to get their input on the boundary that we had drawn. And we will be presenting that boundary today at this meeting and then also at the future committee and core MPO board meetings this month. So in addition to comments from the working group, Effingham County and Bryan County will also be seeking input from the boards and committees. So we also had a methodology to determine the metropolitan planning area. And some of those base layers were the census-defined urban area for Savannah. So the urban area for Savannah is not just the city of Savannah, but also includes other areas surrounding the Savannah area. And then we also use the current core MPO planning area as a base for the proposed draft planning area. So in terms of rules of expansion and how we actually drew the boundary, we used data on the current and future population density within the area. And we also were mindful of impervious surfaces. And then we also aim to have simple boundaries. And I'll go into that more in the next few slides. So in terms of population density, we used data from the 2020 decennial census and determined the areas that have a population density over 500 people per square miles. And so we identified several dense population areas within Bryan County and Effingham counties, in addition to the areas that are already pretty population dense within Chatham County. Impervious surfaces were also a factor within where we drew our boundary. And so we took job centers such as the upcoming Hyundai plant into consideration when drawing the boundary. And that's because job centers have a major impact on transportation or future development. We also aim to have simple boundaries. And so we used roadways and existing county boundaries to draw this new draft boundary. We really wanted to avoid jagged or confusing edges, and we wanted to make the boundary as simple and as recognizable as possible. So each boundary line is based on an existing boundary, an existing roadway, or an existing river. With that, this is the proposed boundary. As you can see, there is major expansion westward and northward, and more significant portions of Bryan and Effingham County are included in this draft boundary. Just to give a closer look, within Effingham County, Rincon, we are proposing to add Rincon to that planning area, and then also portions of Springfield and Guyton. And then in Bryan County, we're also proposing to add the Pembroke area. And a lot of that is due to the fact that in the future, we do see more population density in the Pembroke area, and then also the new Hyundai plant. In southern Bryan County, we are including more portions as well. So we'll see more of Richmond Hill included and more of the unincorporated areas of Bryan County included as well. And so this is the old boundary compared to the new proposed boundary. So as you can see, it's grown a lot. Of course, all of Chatham County is still included, but they're almost half of Effingham County is included, and significant portions of Bryan County are included besides Fort Stewart. So as stated earlier, significant portions of Bryan and Effingham County have been included into this boundary. And Fort Stewart was not included, but it did serve as a border for the MPA boundary in Bryan County. For Effingham County, State Route 119 was used as the northern boundary, and because of that, some areas of Guyton and Springfield are not within our MPA boundary, but we did discuss this with Effingham and Bryan County, and they were in agreement that this was an okay place to place that boundary. These are the population breakdowns of the of each jurisdiction that's now within the planning boundary. Still, Chatham County is the largest population-wise, but there was major growth population-wise for Bryan County and Effingham County. And so now there's almost 400,000 people included in our planning area. Are there any questions? Yes.
Go back to the, yes, thank you. No.
Oh, population.
Yeah, population.
Yes.
The portions of unincorporated Bryan County, is that North Bryan that's, so to speak, west of the Fort Stewart reservation?
I'm not sure.
I think it includes both. Yeah, go back to the map. Go back to the map.
Actually, besides the this Rincon, it's a Richmond Hill. Okay, there's a like community called like Buckhead over there. So that it is not annexed to Richmond Hill. So it's part of Bryan County. So you have population gains from the southern portion of Bryan County and then also northern portion. So you have both.
I think the southern and coastal Bryan County, it's obvious the growth there. It's been happening for some time from 144 on out. But due to the Hyundai plant, I think we're going to see an extremely rapid increase in population in North Bryan. And I'm talking about, you know, from Pembroke all the way to I-16 and beyond. But especially up at the Bullock County, Bryan County line, and there's actually a sewage treatment plant that's being constructed there now will be finished in the end of June. And this is a private wastewater facility and private utilities. And it's going to be serving quite a large portion pretty quickly as soon as conveyance of systems get in place to get it to the plant. And so I think the growth, and this is independent from Bryan County's facility that's going to serve the plant and areas north of I-16. I'm talking about the new Hyundai plant. And so all it bodes is extremely rapid growth because utilities are available. So stay tuned.
Yeah, and if I may, I just hi, Melanie Wilson. One of the things I wanted to make really clear with regards to dealing with these boundaries is that I've spoken with the city and county managers for those jurisdictions. And when we initially used the very basic formulas, the areas were not as large as they are now. So we've already expanded it as much as we can based on what the criteria that we need. We have calculated for a lot of the new growth, which is why we went into Bryan County even more. Because initially we weren't really that president of Bryan County. We just basically kind of covered Richmond Hill and a little bit of went into Bryan County a little bit. So we've calculated and have made adjustments for that growth. And if something crazy happens, then we'll go back and talk with folks with regards to doing additional amendments.
I think you've got it well located. And of course, Eastern Bullock. We'll have a lot of growth. That's right on the other side. Well, actually, the Bullock on 119 on Bill Futch Road, the Bullock County, Bryan County line is right there south of 119.
I think that you're absolutely right, and I know that from talking to
And Bullock is not part of our –
And part of it's not part of our – that's right, but in talking with some of the my colleagues over that side of town or in the county, they're making adjustments as well with regards to trying to meet their transportation needs. I've also talked with Effingham and with Kat about looking at, you know, other possible options for microtransit, although right now they don't have, you know, it's a different transit system, but trying to push more regional transportation to make sure that we can leverage the resources that we have. The other thing that will happen as a consequence of the boundary change that I wanted to at least let you know is that we will be working on new bylaws as well as other policy changes. And with the additional growth in Effingham County and Bryan County, they'll probably most likely end up with an additional seat.
This is hard to predict, but, you know, obviously the driver is the Hyundai plant, which you would never have this growth as quickly without that driver. And
well, the Hyundai plant is definitely a huge driver, but the other piece of it, though, in addition to that, is just the vast amount of warehousing that we have seen regarding some of the rezoning requests and other development that we, you know, that's occurred as a consequence of the port. So the Hyundai, yeah, that's a big one, but I think the port probably is even, you know, bigger because people have tried to figure out what they could do to try to keep up with the amount of activity that's going to happen as a consequence of the port expansions. The sad thing about all of this is that with all of the economic development driving drivers regarding the warehousing and, you know, some of the other development that's taken place, you're losing greenfield. So you're losing the ability for single family housing. And that right now, that's one of the things on the planning side that we are struggling with in trying to work with our partners to come up with some options, because people have to have a place to live.
And it's in fact, I think the counties, mainly Bullock and Bryan, mm-hmm. are right now just in the middle of a knot of land use planning and trying to figure out what's going to happen. And I think basically they're looking at warehousing, and nothing's poured in stone, because people are going to are already rezoning property. And they put a stop to all that right now, where they can catch their breath and just see. But I think what they're saying is primarily rooftops will be on the southern side of 16, and the warehousing will be, and industrial will be, continue to be on the northern side of 16, you know, west of 280.
Right,
and
I understand that. And one of the things that we've done is reached out to the adjacent counties to see if we can get copies of their land use plans and proposed plans, because what I like to do is try to sit down and see where we can have connections in common development standards as you transition the road networks from one place to the next, because it's very easy to have a hard stop and end up with something that's just horrible. But in addition to that, you could have a large development that takes place in Effingham County that adversely impacts Chatham County because of the amount of traffic and stuff coming in. So we've already started forming those relationships and sharing additional information in order to make sure that we do that.
Still in the I think it's still a work in progress, just because of the acceleration from the plan is a big accelerant. And so because of that, land use planning is still a work in progress, but you're smart to be talking about. You need to stay in touch with them, close touch, because that's going to make a big difference. Like you say, it's the rooftops that are going to be your client.
The rooftops are crucial. And, you know, the other piece of it, too, is that, you know, everybody's building warehouses. So if you really take a moment to look at the number of square footage that we've processed, even here at the MPC, you'll be just blown away, not including, you know, our adjacent counties and their increase in warehousing. You can only do so much warehousing at one time. My question still is, where are people going to live? You've got to have people that get there, and also working with them to promote having mixed use that includes industrial components, so that people can live close to where they work and be able to take bikes and things of that nature if they're going to be working at the warehousing facility. So, you know, it's having all of those discussions that really impact what you all do and what we do as a region. It's going to be really important to try to have some smooth transitions.
One more comment. The reason that I say north of 16 is because mm-hmm. several large landowners, Weyerhaeuser, the large timber company,
right,
that owns huge tracts of land, and then they own some on Bill Futch Road, 450 acre tract south of 16. It's called the Wilma Edwards tract. Mm-hmm. So I think what they're looking at is warehouse, and the tract that's on the northern side of 16 is huge, like three or four times that. So I think what they're looking at is sort of throwing that space into warehousing and let them plan on that, and then again, south of 16 will try to be more residential. Like, that's what I mean by rooftops.
Right, and I will
say, Bryan County, it's in their court.
Right.
And so they have, that was what they were saying at first, and I think they're just really trying to grapple with this right now. And so I would just...
It's overwhelming, I think, for a lot of folks. I was in Wake County when we were growing at 120 people a day, and it's just a lot to get your head around when you're experiencing that kind of growth. And I think that the folks in this community are seeing that type of explosion. But I also wanted to relate how this work, as well as our urban flooding model. I know a lot of folks have said, well, why are you doing that? Well, now you understand why. With the amount of development that we have in the areas that are within the current boundaries, but also in the proposed boundary, having a model and expanding upon that model is going to be really important to see what happens with regards to how infrastructure is put in, stormwater management, and the type of additional roadways, bikeways, trails. We're looking at it all and how that development will impact that. So I kind of wanted to at least show that or bring that around to just talk about that relationship and why that was important for us to move thank forward you. On. So thank you all for your support with that
I
one
have
as well.
A question.
Yes, yes, sir.
The perspective, is this willingness to help us redefine what urban is in terms of say, let's throw these pieces in here, include, you know, to say this is the metro urban area. Does that all express a willingness to cooperate with other areas as well? For example, I know that all of Chatham County is already in metro planning. You know,
No, say that again. I'm sorry. I didn't.
All of Chatham County is already in. But we have communities that aren't as willing to participate in, you know, Federal Planning Commission as they like. They don't send them to me.
I think I kind of understand. Are you saying because of this willingness, is there a willingness for additional participation?
Yes.
In the planning from the MPC side or the MPO side?
Yes. I want to know, do you think you read it as a willingness to do that?
I think that from the conversations that I've been having with the, city manager and county manager, that's why we're starting to share information so that we can provide assistance to them in some cases of making sure that we're kind of doing a little bit better planning in figuring out how we can involve the community a little bit more. I appreciated your questioning earlier with regards to how people are reaching the citizens within, you know, the Savannah area, but in addition to some of the other areas in Chatham County where people don't necessarily have internet. I don't think people realize that you still have large areas that don't have internet. You know, in the importance of doing that. But I do think that if there are people in the community that really have an interest in the MPO or interest in projects, they really need to participate. And whether that's through you talking with them, you having them call us and say, hey, what's going on? Folks looking at our website, if they do have access to the internet, we're always open and willing to go and talk with different folks with regards to, you know, transportation and transportation type planning. And, you know, if the county manager or someone asks, even in the adjacent county for some assistance, I'm always open to providing that to them.
I just don't want to see this where you said, well, the size is bigger because this is what's included. But you say in terms of commitment, in terms of actual programming, you know, we really aren't working, you know, jointly on these matters. Like you said, we're doing that as well.
I think that'll come with having a, you know, some of the additional appointments to, you know, and participation, you know, with the various committees that we have with the MPO or with CORE to get them involved with regards to this process. I think that people don't truly understand the importance of what we do and how it does impact the land use as well as other items that are very important to the community that people just assume happen naturally. But we will do our best to incorporate. And if we've got the information, so if you've got a list or you know of other people that we need to reach out to, please share that with us and we'll be glad to do that.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next item on our agenda is the non-motorized transportation plan update.
I will be giving that presentation as well. So this is just going to be highlighting some of the work that we've been doing on the non-motorized transportation plan, which is our bike and pedestrian plan. So one of the major things that we've done is plotted out a proposed regional bike network. And so the goal of this network is to connect all three counties within the core MPO with continuous bikeways. These are long-distance bike networks that can act as a foundation for smaller networks to branch off from. And it connects some major existing and planned bikeways, such as Tie to Town, as you can see here, and then also the East Coast Greenway as another example. So staff is planning to receive input on this network from the steering committee in a future virtual meeting. I have also sent out an email to the steering committee as well, so you can also take a look at this bike network and just give your thoughts and opinions on it as well. Again, this is a draft, and the non-motorized transportation plan will not be adopted until next year, so we have a lot of time to really make the best bike network possible. Some of what we're also doing is analyzing bike lane designs that can be pretty easily adapted in a savanna area. So some of what we've been exploring are buffers to provide a safe distance between bikers and motorized traffic. And then also we want to know how wide should those buffers be, just because share rows specifically can make cycling pretty dangerous in certain areas, just because sharing a bike sharing a lane with motorized traffic can be dangerous not only for the biker but also the driver. So we're trying to determine what buffer is most protective for bikers and motorists. We're also looking into what type of physical barriers would be best to separate those bike lanes out, just because those physical barriers are a bit safer for bikers. It's seen in a lot of areas where if a bike lane is just painted, a lot of the time motorists will just drive into them or even park in them. So a physical barrier not only protects bikers more from motorized traffic, it can also keep it clear from motorized traffic just parking and blocking it as well. We're also exploring multi-use paths that can be used by both cyclists and pedestrians. And this may be a simpler way to implement separated bike and pedestrian facilities. So instead of creating a wide bike network and then also wide sidewalks, we can kind of combine them so it's a little bit easier to implement. So some of the next steps that we're exploring is sidewalks. So that's the second piece of this non-motorized transportation plan. So we really want to zone in on exploring the best signage to make intersection crossings safer for pedestrians, examining the local sidewalk network and the state of sidewalk conditions, and then also exploring the use of multi-use paths, which would allow for bikers and pedestrians to both use the same network. And that's just because pedestrians and bicyclists, in terms of speed or in safety, are a bit more compatible than bikes and cars are in terms of sharing a lane. And then we'll also be examining this from an accessibility standpoint as well. So we definitely have our work cut out for us. And we, in addition to what I've talked about here, what is not on the slide is we're also reviewing some of the projects that we want to add and the projects that exist in the previous bike and pedestrian plan. So we have a lot of work going on. Are there any questions?
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Next would be agency reports. We have none of that or other business. There looks to be no public comment. Do we have anyone online?
I just want to mention that the agency reports has actually included and the notices as you have, but GDAL, Chatham County, City of Savannah, et cetera.
Yeah, so on the notices, if any of you have any comments or questions about any of those, now would be the time that we can ask staff about them. If not, our next core MPO CAC committee meeting will be June 22nd. That'll be a Thursday. Thank you all for adjusting to today's Wednesday time. I think we all appreciate it. I hope to see you all in June and drive home safely. With that, I'll adjourn. Thank you.